looks at the body of Christ, and it looks at the different gifts that God has given us to use as part of the body. And today we come to the gift of prophecy. What is prophecy? Here's the definition of prophecy. Yes, we are the family of God. Okay, here's the definition. Yes, prophecy is a communication of the mind of God to a believer by the Holy Spirit. If you want a basic definition of prophecy, prophecy is God communicating to us through His Holy Spirit. So what He communicates might be something that says what's going to happen, or warns us what's going to happen if we don't change our ways, or guides us. You know, it says, I'd like you to do this, or I'd like you to do this. And it can happen to that someone is given a sense of God's mind to be spoken to someone else or to a whole church. That's prophecy. There are plenty of examples in the Old Testament of the Bible of prophets. Abraham was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. David was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. I mean, the Bible is full of examples of prophecy. In my mind, the typical prophet is Jeremiah. Here's a quote from the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Typical to a prophet is a general reluctance. You see it there. It's like, oh, no, send someone else. That's a real sign of prophecy, because by the very nature, prophets don't like people making a fuss of them. They don't like being in the limelight. And so there, Jeremiah is displaying the typical traits of someone who's a gift of prophecy. But there's more. This is from Jeremiah 19. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, and this is the key verse, verse 9, if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word in my heart is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I can't. So there's another two things that help us to understand authentic prophecy. One is it tends to be countercultural. It tends to go against people's expectations. You know, it tends to bring people up short, saying, oh, we shouldn't be doing that, we should be doing this. Or, you know, if you carry on doing that, you're going to end up in a mess. And it's unpopular. That's the second thing. The second thing is really this sense that if you keep quiet and you're a prophet, you keep quiet, then it eats you up. You've got to tell people. It's a bit like a hot potato. You've got to pass it on. So there we have the things that help us understand whether something really is from God. First of all, a general reluctance to talk about it. Secondly, the fact that what we feel we should be saying tends to go against things, or it tends to be countercultural. And then thirdly, the fact that if we don't say it, then we suffer for that. So those are the marks of a prophet. Of course, the best example of all of a prophet is Jesus. And if you think about Jesus and you think about his life, you spot all those three things. You spot a reluctance. You know, don't tell anybody. You spot, I mean, Jesus speaks the truth. And often he gets sad and it comes from the depths of his being what he's speaking. Or sometimes he gets angry and it comes from the depths of his being what he's speaking. But he always speaks the truth. And what he says doesn't make him popular. It tends to be countercultural. But he nevertheless has to speak it because he is truth. In the Old Testament, The Holy Spirit comes upon some people some of the time for a specific purpose. If you've done the Alpha course, you'll know this. In the New Testament, we see Jesus opening the way for his Holy Spirit to be poured out on all believers. So it's not upon some people some of the time. It's poured out on, and it's not just upon us now, it's within us. God's Holy Spirit within us. And one of the blessings of having God's Spirit within us is that his Spirit gives us gifts. Gifts that that are spiritual things that are, well, let's read about them. This is what the Bible says in Romans 12. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Next slide, Derek. There you go. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your gifts. There's this sense in that passage that the gifts are given for the sake of the body of Christ. They're not given for my sake or your sake. They're given so that the body of Christ can function and function better. There are other gifts that are associated with prophecy. Next slide, Derek. And they're there in that passage too. Oh, no, they're there in 1 Corinthians. He lists the gifts. Let's go back to... Yeah, now to each manifestation the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. So there again, in a different part of the New Testament, Paul also mentions this gift of prophecy. And next slide, Derek. And these are the other gifts that are sort of similar. The message of knowledge, a sense that God is asking you to say something, whether it's to an individual or to a group of people, but it's of God, it's not from you. Or the ability to interpret what someone else is saying. So they're all sort of a kin, the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of interpretation of tongues. They're all slightly different. But tonight I want to talk about two things very briefly, okay? And then I'm going to challenge you all. The two things I'm going to talk about are, first, the gift of prophecy, and second, the role of the prophet, because they're slightly different. The gift of prophecy can be given to anyone. Anyone who is a believer. Anyone who affirms that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. On Tuesday night, we had an interesting session at David Hill's house. There was a bunch of us, and we met together to talk about how evening worship was going and to sort of think ahead and make plans. And so I came, as I tend to do, with a great big detailed plan of all the subjects we're going to look at during the summer holidays. And I was all fired up. I probably even had the readings from the Bible to go with the themes. And it's the sort of thing, I'm a bit like that. I'm a detail person. But there I was launching into this, and Derek Jardin, who's up there controlling the sound, said, why are we doing this? And we all thought, yes, why are we doing this? And then Claire Hill, who's sitting at the back somewhere, where is she? Oh, she's over there. Hi, Claire. Everybody look at Claire. No, Claire Hill said, I always thought that summer gives us a chance to do something different and maybe do something outside, maybe even go out and witness to our faith, at which point her husband David fell over. He says, what? That's not my wife. I'm normally the person who says this. That's my wife talking. And this started sparking us all off. And we had this great big long conversation that really got quite exciting. And in the end, we completely changed everything. So what we're planning to do now is have a 2-week break. first 2 weeks of July. Second week of that is the Stadium Slam launch service down the road anyway. And then the third week in July, we thought, let's start something different. Something, we're going to call it the Summer School of Mission. And it's going to involve both teaching and practice. So we're going to be learning about prayer walking, and then we're going to be doing prayer walking. We're going to be learning about sharing our faith, then we're going to be sharing our faith. We're going to be learning about praying for things, and then we're going to be praying for... You get the idea. And in fact, another idea that came out was to use the image of an agricultural image, where if the seed... Before you plant the seed, you have to prepare the ground, so that would be the prayer walking. And then you have to plant the seed, so that would be us going out and saying hello to people. There's a whole bunch of new houses just up there, so we're sort of homing in on them. And then after that, the seed's got to grow, so it needs to be watered and fertilized and all that. I haven't quite worked out what that is spiritually, but I'm still working on it. And then eventually, there's the time of reaping, which would be towards the end of August. And so it's really quite exciting. But the point is that all this came out of Derek saying, why are we doing this? And that, in my mind, was a prophetic insight, backed up by Claire's prophetic insight about, yeah, I like to do things differently. Let's go outside, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that is the gift of prophecy in action. You know, when you think about spiritual gifts, you tend to think that only very special people have spiritual gifts, or you've got to be very, very spiritual to have spiritual gifts, or you have to be very, very clever, or, you know, or you have to be a leader. But no, it could be something very, very, very simple. Like Derek saying, why are we doing this? That's God giving Derek, through his Holy Spirit, something to say to all of us, which changes the direction we're going in. That is prophecy. And it might be that tonight God is giving you something to say to someone, or something to say to us all. And you sort of think, where did that thought come from? And you're sort of going, oh, I'm not going to say that. I'll say a bit more about that in a minute. That's part of the thing I want to challenge you with. So the one gift I want to talk about is, well, the one thing I want to talk about tonight is the gift of prophecy, which can be given to anyone. But the other thing I want to talk about is the role of the prophet. The role of the prophet is a role of leadership. And here's a couple of passages that talk about the role of the prophet. First, Romans 12. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles. Those are leaders and strategists, the ones who sort of lead the way. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles, then gifts of healing or helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. So there's prophets. Now, there's another passage where Paul actually goes into a bit more detail. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there we have five gifts. Can we have the next slide up, Derek? And these are leadership gifts or leadership roles. If the church is to function, the church will need apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. That's what a church needs if it's going to function effectively as the body of Christ. A few weeks ago, prompted by someone's talk that someone had given about his experience of church, Rachel and I and someone else did a quick, and Kenny I think was there. No, I don't know if he was there. Anyway, we did a quick analysis of who are the leaders at Liberton Kirk. And it was really interesting because in three out of the four cases, we all looked at different leadership groups. And three out of the four cases, those leaderships, those people in leadership in those groups, whether it be the team that works here, the staff team, or whether it be the youth leaders, or whether it be our world mission group, we analyzed them all. And three out of four, the leaders turned out to lack evangelists and prophets. There were apostles, there were teachers, and there were shepherds. But there were no evangelists, and there were no prophets. And that got me thinking about the character of our church, and how... Well, I love apostleship. I just love strategy and thinking big picture stuff. Yeah, you know. So there's lots of that going on. And people here are very good at pastoring. And there are a lot of able teachers. But the prophets and the evangelists have not yet come into leadership. And as a result, our church tends not to be prophetic and it tends not to be evangelistic. It's as simple as that. You need all five gifts for the leadership of the church to be balanced. It was quite a sort of God moment for me. I thought, oh my goodness, we need to do something about this. What sort of people are we looking for? Well, next week the talk will be about evangelists, okay? So tonight we're focusing on prophets. What sort of people are we talking about who God might be calling to be part of our leadership? Well, here are the characteristics of a prophet, and you probably guessed some of them already. Someone who can take on this role of prophecy or leadership in prophecy is someone who enjoys their own space and time. You know, someone who, oh, I need to get away from all this and spend time with God. That is the typical prophet. Someone who's busy, the evangelist is constantly talking to people. Yeah, I like company, I'm an extrovert. But the prophet is almost the opposite of the evangelist. The prophet just loves spending time alone with God. There are lots of famous quotes about prophets, and they usually go along the lines of, things are getting really busy, so I need to take at least an extra hour to pray so I can deal with it. You know, that's prophecy. That's the prophet. They are energized by being alone in the presence of God. They are very open to God moments. They're very open to noticing things that don't quite fit. So they think, oh, is that God? You know, they're very tuned in to God's presence, God's Spirit. And of course, we all want to be. But prophets are especially gifted at that. And they have this reluctant need to share what God is telling them. Reluctant because they don't like being in the limelight, but they need to share it because they can't keep it to themselves or their hearts burn within them. So those are the two things I want to talk to you about. The gift of prophecy that can be given to any one of us, and the role of the prophet. And what I'm going to do ask now is, if band, if you come up, we're going to sing a song, When God Speaks. And Lindsay and Claire, where are you? If you want to come out and just sort of, I don't know, do you want to be together or do you want, I don't know. I mean, if one of you goes over to that side and one of you goes over to this side. Now, I've chosen Lindsay and Claire because they've both got very discerning natures. Again, that's another gift. And also, as people, they're not very foreboding or threatening type people. They're the sort of people you just go up and talk to. The question for you is this. Has God been saying something to you tonight about prophecy? Has God been putting a thought into your mind that you reluctantly think you should be telling someone about? If that's the case, then if I describe it as a word of knowledge, and it might be just an image or a picture, or it might be a verse from the Bible, it might be a couple of words that you don't fully understand, but nevertheless you know they're from God and you know they need to be shared. If that's you, then while we're singing this song, make your way out to Claire or to Lindsay and share it with them. The gifts of the Spirit have to be used as part of the body of Christ. They're not used by individuals in isolation. So what happens is, if someone feels that God's telling them something, they have to share that first with people who are discerning. And then as the body of Christ, we decide whether it's something for everybody else to hear or whether it's just something for an individual. So during the next song, if you feel that you have a word of knowledge, then come and have a chat with Lindsay or with Claire, and then it becomes their problem. You don't have to do anything about it. It's then up to them to decide whether or not to share it with anybody else or with us as the whole group. If you feel called to the role of leadership, that prophetic role of leadership, then I don't want you to do anything during this next song, but I want you to come and speak to me afterwards. Okay? I want you to come and speak to me afterwards. It doesn't matter if you're from this church or you're a member of the Farsi Fellowship or whatever. If you feel, you know, what I've been saying about prophecy, you think, oh, that's me, then do come and speak to me afterwards. And we can just talk it through and see where God's leading you. But first, let's just pray. Loving Father, it is only by the power of your Spirit that we are able to serve you at all. And we know that we are unworthy, that our very human nature, our human gifts are unworthy of your name. But in the power of your Holy Spirit, you take us and you mold us into the people that you want us to be. And you give us gifts. So our prayer tonight is that for those here, and there are people here tonight with the gift of prophecy, that you would speak to their hearts, that we might hear your voice, that we might know your wisdom and your guidance, and that we might glorify your name. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.